Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We'll get Stephen Jones on here before too long. He's taking care of some Friday business as the Cowboys get ready to visit Chicago. 3:25 kickoff Sunday afternoon. Our pregame starts about noon. Postgame afterwards go until 9:30. Okay, but yes, this is Pickler University, the best pickleball facility in the entire world. It's right here in Carrollton, 2800 North Interstate 35. Stephen Jones coming up in just a second. Okay, so Jadeveon Clowney, I'm reading from Clarence Hill. He's at practice. He said he was arrested parking at his aunt's house at a high school football game. He said he was detained for no more than 20 minutes and was back at the game before the second quarter. He's frustrated by the entire matter. It is the first time he's been arrested, he says, and it's the type of stuff he had to deal with in his entire life growing up there. So he was arrested in his hometown, parking at his aunt's house, going to the football game, and he was detained there for about 20 minutes or so. I don't think it's a big story at all, just a little bit embarrassing. But wanted to relay what he told reporters after today's practice, as a number of players are talking here, their Friday media session, getting ready for the weekend and the trip up to there to Chicago. Okay, so here's what I got for you while we wait for Steve, and I'm looking forward to asking Stephen Jones about this.
Yes, sir.
How do we take advantage of this good offense? We like the offense, right?
We do.
Yeah.
It's got promise.
Jerry Jones on the fan this morning with KNC, 10:30 every Friday. He was asked about the idea of being open to trades with the picks they acquired from Green Bay. He said, absolutely, I'm open for business, period. Relative now that we have those extra picks, we should be. How much better do you think they could make the team right now if you put both those number ones on the table? Ones don't get traded often. I think you get damn good players, assuming they become available, right? The right teams have to suck with players on the rookie contracts are going to expire. They're not going to re-sign those guys. They're like, yeah, we'll take a first-round pick, restart our clock on a rookie deal instead of pay this guy. That's what you're looking at. And it might be like a half season's worth of services, but you also have the second most cap space. I think this offense is special. I don't think you can guarantee George Pickens will be back next year.
Right? Can you tell me, and I think you're right about that, can you tell me where you think you're going to be picking this year? The Cowboys.
Right now, they're probably heading for the 18th overall pick.
Okay, so we're not interested in trading our own pick. We're moving the Green Bay picks, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, if we trade our own pick, we might actually get something better.
Sure.
You're interested in doing that?
For the right player, yeah. I mean, we're talking elite corner, maybe in his third year instead of his fourth year. Yes. Yeah, so yeah, I think here's my basic.
J.C. Horn interests you then? Somebody like that?
No.
Injuries?
Injury prone?
No, I'm not interested in that. No.
So I think when you're close, you trade your picks for players, and when you're far away, you trade your players for picks. Like, I think it's clear you should be riding this yo-yo harder, and right now is the opportunity, because I think two great players on defense could put you in the conversation.
Well, so you're looking at corner. And are you looking at edge rusher? Are you looking at linebacker, safety?
Yes. All four of those spots, I'm looking for the biggest impact player. But I would love the idea of getting another deep safety.
Like, if there was a Roquan Smith out there at this deadline, a player of that caliber linebacker, I'd give up a one for him. I'd definitely be interested in Trey Hendrickson. I don't think you need to give up a one for him. I think that would be a second-round pick. That's what they were asking for prior to getting a deal done, and that would be a rental. So it just depends on, like, you got to tell me who the players are that are available that you'd be able to get, but you're also punting on cheap labor for 4 years, which can be something the Cowboys, I think, really look at, right? So whoever you're going to get, you're probably going to have to pay. I'm very interested in doing it if I can help my football team. Like Trey Hendrickson would be an immediate upgrade over what you've got right now, and he's helping what's certainly a weakness through two games. That's going to aid your pass rush. But I think you could keep your 2-1s. I don't think you've got to do that to go get him.
Yeah, I think right now you look at when your defense is healthy, you would like Bland, you would like Diggs. I think you're, you know, fairly satisfied with Malik Hooker and Donovan Wilson, but you could get a lot better. You still need a third corner. Like, if you could get another outside corner and move Bland to the inside, I think you're talking. What I said in the first hour about Overshown, I think, plays here as well. Like, he is an amazing off-ball safety that you can move around and blitz and do different things with, but you don't have that guy in the middle that's always going to be in the hole, always is going to be fighting through traffic well, and is a sure tackler. You just don't have that guy right now. I think, you know, defensive tackle is probably the spot when you look at how Solomon Thomas is playing, that you have three that you really like. But then, you know, that other edge spot, we'll see what Jadeveon Clowney does. I think he could be part of the solution, but I don't think he's wrecking game plans or, you know, doing enough when it comes to rushing the passer to get all that excited about. How about Mazi Smith and Jaden Blue inactives? Jerry Jones on that this morning. If you don't see them up there, then that means there was somebody else there for some reasons, for multiple reasons, he added. I don't know. Are we getting much momentum? Maybe we can get an update from Stephen Jones on that with Jaden Blue. But I haven't seen Shoddy talking about him lately.
Mazi?
Jaden Blue or Mazi. Jaden Blue.
Yeah. Jaden Blue was initially a surprise, and now the more you kind of dive in on things, they're, it's coach's decision. So there you go.
All right. It's time now for Stephen Jones here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. And a good afternoon, Stephen. How the heck are you?
Good afternoon, guys. Good being on.
It's good to have you. We were just talking about things your dad, Jerry Jones, said this morning with our midday show, and he was asked if the draft picks you got from the Packers might be in play to make the team better immediately. How do you look at that?
Yeah, I think you're always open to any opportunity, whether you have extra or not. If you see something that, especially when you're talking about draft picks, it will make you long-term a better team. Which was part of what that trade was all about. The two number ones, and felt like Kenny Clark wasn't just a 1-year fix. Kenny's going to be here and be a top player for us, we think, for the next 3 years. So anytime the right opportunity presents itself, then we're open to it. And I'm not privy to what he said. I don't think I heard his interview, but
he said absolutely.
I mean, yeah, I would be for it. And, for looking at something that gave us a chance to not only make us a much better team this year, but make us better for the future.
I mean, you were within a score of Philadelphia. You had a great offensive performance in week two. The defense giving up 450 yards to Russell Wilson, I think, has been a big part of the reaction this week. How close do you guys think you are right now with this roster?
You know, I think it's a work in progress. Obviously you can't do that. Give up the yardage we gave up and the points we gave up and the big plays, the explosive plays. Everybody on the staff, our team, the organization's aware that you don't win many football games doing that. And we think we got one of the best in the business in Eberflus, and got all the confidence in the world. We're going to do the things that we got to do. To shore that up, I do think there were some positives in terms of something that we've been focused on, which is stop the run. At the end of the day, it's got to be an all-around performance, and we got to continue to run the ball and stop the run. But obviously, we can't be giving up 8 explosive plays in a game and giving up that type of yardage if we want to be the type of football team we expect to be.
Yeah, Steven, I kind of look at your team right now. Your offense is going to put opponents in a lot of bad situations where they're going to have to chase points. Is the pass defense something that's now more of a concern than run defense if opponents are having to throw against you?
Well, I think all the above, Brian. I mean, the run game, you definitely want to be able to do that. But I do think, between philosophically and scheme-wise, we can do things that will continue to make us better, but also have a big belief that we've got really good football players that are going to be coming back to help us, whether sure. that's Ron Bland, whether that's Revel, whether that's Diggs continuing to come off that injury and get better each week and understand what's expected of him. I think the pass rush can continue to get better. You know, we're not going to solve it overnight with one player, but getting Clowney in, I think, helps us. I think, you know, you got players like Easy, Dono, that are going to continue to get better as pass rushers. And, you know, just overall feel like, you know, we can do the things and move in a direction that our defense is only going to get better. And as you said, I think offensively, you know, we have some personnel and we have some things, you know, with a great quarterback like Dak that are going to stress the other team's defense as well. So this is a work in progress. By no means is anyone satisfied, a long ways from it. And we got a lot of work to do here.
What is the plan for Clowney on Sunday?
You know, right now it's going to be a game time decision. But, you know, there's we're seeing how he does. He did more today, but probably I know Jerry had mentioned he'd have a chance to play, but after practice and talking about it today, it's probably a final game time decision, but leaning toward him probably not playing this week.
Steven, it seems like James Houston has been one of the more efficient pass rushers on this defense. What's keeping him from maybe getting more snaps, more opportunities?
I just think it's, you know, everybody getting a feel for all the things that everybody does well. I agree with you. I think he's doing an outstanding job and has had some really good rushes. You know, I just think it's figuring out, you know, the right chemistry, the right groupings to play together. We want to keep people fresh. I think that's real important. And a pass rush is to make sure, you know, at the end of games when you need it the most, you can get the rushes you need to make the quarterback make quicker decisions and give the secondary some help. So I think all these things are really important, but hats off. 53 is doing a great job out there, and, you know, that's why we also added Clowney. You can't have enough of those guys, and you want to keep them rested.
With BB, the mid-ankle sprain there, a broken bone was also reported in his foot. Does that complicate or extend his recovery in any way?
No, I think it's still in the time frame we mentioned. I mean, it's that 6 to 8 week time frame. I usually bet on those offensive linemen. They're rough and tumble and don't want to miss, and he fits that mold exactly. So we'll see. But no, that was we knew the full prognosis when we when the time frame was out that it was going to be 6 to 8 weeks.
How close do you think Trayvon Diggs is to the player that he was pre-injury?
You know, I think we'll see week to week. I know he's driven to do it. I think we've got a great staff over there, you know, working with him to get him in a great position to having the success that he's had in the past. And, you know, felt like it's all coming. Like you said, I think it's all in front of this secondary. I think Kyer Elam's going to continue to get better. So we've got a good group of men out there that are, I think are going to get better week in and week out and ultimately, you know, work ourselves into the team that we need to be.
Jerry was teasing some contract talk about Brandon Aubrey, the best darn kicker in football. Any update there, Steven?
No updates. As you know, I don't like to comment on them till they're done. I agree with Jerry. He's one of the best darn kickers in football, probably the best darn kicker in football. But, you know, we're lucky to have him. I mean, obviously, he played a tremendous role in that victory against the Giants. And he's a class act. As great as he is on the field, he's a better man off. And he's the type of guy we want to keep around here.
Are these officials going to get the tush, push, false starts proper this week?
I know we've talked about it internally as a committee, okay. And I know that's the ultimate goal. Our guys do a great job. Their job's never easy, but certainly we want to get it all right if we can.
Very nice, Steven. Give him hell up there. We'll be pulling for you.
All right. Great being on, guys.
Yeah, great to have you. Steven Jones here, brought to you by Ford, official vehicle of your Dallas Cowboys. And, yeah, NFL has instructed officials to call that tush, push, play tight going forward after the Eagles used it against the Chiefs a bunch of times. NFL VP of Officiating Training and Development Ramon George emphasized the need for officiating these plays tightly, especially in short yardage situations. Andy Reid suggested the Bird Turds may have executed the QB sneak plays early adding scrutiny to the tush-push tactic. Cam Jurgens expressing frustration with the various interpretations of the play, denying accusations of lining up offsides or holding the ball. What's that part of it?
Probably underneath him there. He's like, he's lining up offsides.
Yeah, his helmet's in the neutral zone.
Yeah, so he, the way he's positioned.
I mean, one of those line of scrimmage lines had it way back, almost like they were all lurching way forward. And, you know, I guess you can get some free yardage and basically put the back of your neck in first down territory, and it's just a matter of burrowing. But that'd be interesting. Do you think it'll slow him down?
Yeah, it's going to get called a couple of times, but I would keep running it. Because every officiating crew is different. Now we'll see. It's one of the best plays in football. It really, really is. I mean, if you think about the success rate of what and how it's used, it's really a weapon.
It's damn near unstoppable.
Yeah, they get first downs with it, Dawson. You talked about that. They get touchdowns out of it. So it's the people talk about, oh, it's a scrum, it's this, that, and the other. No, it's a snap, it's a block, it's a push. That's what we do, you know.
We're live at Pickler Universe here in Carrollton. This is what we do. Once again, we've been here several times over the summer. It's the best place to play pickleball in the entire world. The Stella Artois is flowing. Look at that. They brought us a bucket, beer samples for everyone 21 and up. And it looks like Rain Clean Energy has their energy drinks going again over here. They got some good sugar-free energy drinks.
Yeah, those are rocking.
I was flying last time. So whatever you need to do, if you like pickleball, this is the place to be. It's right off 35 and Bush up here in Carrollton. We got the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening, and more coming up next here on
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The fan. All right, we're back. G-Bag Nation live at Pickler Universe in Carrollton. Come join us for some pickleball, some Stella Artois samples. And you can get all the information at pace4texas.com. That's our presenting sponsor. Segment here, the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening. A lot of things going on with your Cowboys here as we go into week three. And segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get you in. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. And, time for the C-Note here. Let's do this. And I just want to start with one of the coolest appearances you will see from any professional sports team anywhere. I couldn't believe this when I saw Brandon Laurie, who's been killing it on Cowboys Twitter lately.
Brandon's the man.
Said, if any Cowboys fans are in the Dallas area tomorrow night, which is tonight, Dak and Pickens will be there for a meet and greet at Dick's House of Sport.
Wow.
This is
Dick's House of Sport? Is this like real Dick's Sporting Goods? Or
okay, this is Dick's Sporting Goods. I guess they renamed it Dick's House of Sport.
Did they? Because Dak's done a lot of stuff with Dick's Sporting Goods, so that makes sense. But I did not know they did. I didn't know Dick's was doing a bit of a rebrand of sorts.
I suppose they are. Yeah, I hadn't seen that, but I'm going to go ahead and retweet this at Gavin Dawson. And, pretty cool deal there tonight. Maybe get a Dak meet-and-greet opportunity, maybe a little autograph session. Not quite sure what's cooking, but I think people are going to like what George Pickens has going on as well.
George is awesome.
One of the coolest dudes in person, I think, on the Cowboys in a long time.
No question, dude. He was my favorite player that we got to interact with at training camp.
Okay, next thing in the C-Note. Are we back to Brandon Laurie again? We are, because he has posted a next-gen stat on Solomon Thomas, who happens to lead all defensive tackles with a run-stop win rate of 71%. I think you were first on this when we were in Oxnard, how awesome Solomon Thomas has been.
I think he was first on it when they signed him.
You were like, Solomon Thomas is that dude.
No, I just.
As wrong as you were about these edges, man, you nailed that Solomon Thomas.
Crushing it.
Can't have it all. Local DFW guy.
Wrong about them edges, aren't I? I'm really wrong about them edges. Trust me. Like I say, it's 2 weeks.
It'll be all right.
Hey, but it's all about Solomon Thomas right now.
Did
okay,
Stephen
give
Jones
us the goods.
Make you feel any better about this defense?
No.
What? You make Stephen Jones
no.
make you feel?
They're hoping to get healthy, and they believe in Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, we're
he just said they had one of the best in the business in Matt Eberflus. That's an all-time ball sack.
I don't think Shoddy's just going to let this coast, though. I hope not. What's your read on that? I think he's in there like, dude, we can't be doing this. I hope not. Like, sometimes coaches and their coordinators have, like, this distance sort of, you do your thing, I'll do mine.
Yeah.
I think Shoddy's an elite communicator. It's going to pay off here.
Yeah, I think he is as well. I just wonder how long does it take for him to feel like, okay, I really got to go in there. Will it be too late at that point? Because it's like right now we're talking 2 weeks into the season, but it was bad enough to where these conversations need to start happening, man.
I don't think he lets this thing. I think he went in there this week.
Yeah?
I think he'd go in there this week and say, listen, you know, I mean, the whole thing, Matt came in and was talking about Bears personnel, right? They kind of had that conversation. But if I'm Shoddy, I'd say, listen, we have got to think about something different here. I mean, if you want to get in too deep, just know damn good and well that if we don't do this or we don't do this, and I'm sure, you know, Shoddy doesn't want to step on any toes, but, man, you got to step on toes. You can't let this thing fester into week five and all of a sudden, remember how bad the offense was? And it took like an act of Congress at one time to get Mike McCarthy to change anything.
2023, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And if I'm Eberflus, I saw that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're the head coach. You know, hey, we can't be giving up chunk plays to the damn New York Giants who hadn't done anything all week, or, I mean, all year so far. You know, we can't do that. So whatever we're doing right now, we need to think about something differently here.
Especially with the work our defensive tackles are putting in right now. Solomon Thomas.
If this week looks as bad, I'll get into panic mode with you. I just find it hard to believe Matt Eberflus, who's had a top 10 defense when he's been a defensive coordinator, just doesn't all of a sudden know how to coach defense.
Okay.
If he's that stubborn, and this week it's the same exact crap, I'll be with you. But last year was the same thing the first half of the season with the defense. It was god-awful. We weren't calling to fire Mike Zimmer, and he got it corrected. I'm going to give him a little bit of grace to see, can you fix this? And if he can't, then I'll be with you.
Okay, can I then ask you this question? How many years have you watched Donovan Wilson play safety?
His entire career.
Okay. At the end, you watched him at the collegiate level.
At A&M, yeah.
And at the NFL level.
He's never been a good cover guy.
Walchuk was scouting him out in gosh dang Pee-wee, man.
So why does quality radio guy know how to play Donovan Wilson and the defensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys doesn't?
Because the bad thing is they don't pay attention at all to how these players are until they get here. I don't
know how you cannot watch tape. And Donovan Wilson is a sack guy around the line. 5 sacks. I would bring him before I would bring Reedy Stewart.
Brian, I'm with you. But when we sat down and we talked with Zim, and granted, that's just one coach, but it really opened my eyes to just
what did
how,
Zim
like,
say? He went back and said, I should have done things my ways at the jump.
He did.
You know?
And maybe Flus is going to have some of this when he gets to the end of the season where he reflects back and says, man, at this point in the season, I should have done X, Y, Z too. But he. I hope to God he learned last week because he got to see it firsthand. He was here. So there's no excuse now for not knowing that that's a weakness in Donovan Wilson's game.
Right.
If we're seeing the same thing on Sunday, then I'll 100% be on board. But right now it's like this is two games. Malik Nabers is one of the best receivers in football. Wandale Robinson, I said last week, could be a problem for you. He's an underrated player. I didn't think Russell Wilson's throwing 450 yards. Was that embarrassing? Is that something that is unforgivable? 100%. But he better correct it this week. If he doesn't, then we can have a conversation on Monday, and I'll be way more pitchfork in hand with you.
Especially with, like, you know he wants to have something for Caleb Williams.
Can I ask you a question,
sir? I mean, he does not want Caleb Williams to absolutely dice him up.
If they lose that game last week, you're not feeling this way right now, are you? Because you went crotch first on.
I did.
This is going to be an ass-kicking. This is going to be that. And I'm not. I mean,
100%.
I'm just saying. The fact that they escaped against a bad football team right now, We should be questioning what they're doing over there.
No, we should. All of that is fair to question. But I'm not just going to write him off that this dude's a bum and needs to be fired after 2 weeks.
I don't think anybody's called him a bum or anything. That I think where we're having problems is that coaches always like to sit there and tell us, I'm going to put my guys in the best position to make plays.
Yeah, and he didn't do that.
He did not do that.
He didn't
and
do
so
that.
If you it, in the last two games,
experience for him.
98% zone coverage, you know, and all of a sudden you're playing, okay, now you're going to play some single high, and you're going to take your best single high player and play him down?
Right.
When the guy who is your best down player is playing as the single high safety.
Yeah, and if they had lost that game, they still gave up all those points and yards on defense. I'd probably still be feeling the same way I'm feeling now. This defense I didn't think was going to be good coming into the season. I didn't think it was going to be great with Micah Parsons anyway. We all said they're going to have to score points to win. This team is going to win via offense. None of this is a super big surprise. We said if they could have been middle of the pack, average on defense, they had a chance to be a playoff team. And that was my hope. They're going to be able to get healthy and eventually be able to do that. So let's see. No Deron Bland, I do think, is big. That's their best cornerback. Trayvon Diggs played terrible last week. And Diggs wants to complain and maybe talk with some people in the locker room about the scheme and certain stuff like that instead of taking accountability. Sometimes this is on the players.
No.
And I don't think Diggs and Elam did Eberflus any favors either. But, yes, from the Donovan Wilson aspect of it, I'm with you 100%. If he's going to continue to put him in a position to go out there and get burnt, then that's coaching malpractice.
I don't think that's Donovan Wilson's fault. That's what I'm saying.
Well, he can't do it. He's not capable of doing it.
I mean, you know,
did it on the pick. Well, it was a missed throw.
Well, it was a bad throw.
It was a terrible throw. And I do think in relation to last year, it was the offense sucked so bad too, especially early on. Whereas this time around, you're looking, hey, we got a legit offense. And so you're really putting more pressure to, like, we got to fix this defense right now because you do have one side of the ball that's rocking.
Yeah,
and so you don't want to waste that.
And I think Eberflus does a lot of things well. That's why he's got the reputation. That's why he was named a head coach. Like, the way that he interacts with his guys, I think it's legendary. You know, I think he's like the ultimate build you up, giving you good, concise feedback without beating you down. And I think when he has guys that can run his scheme, he's going to be really good. But what do you do next?
See, I think Matt Eberflus is a really good coach. I don't disagree with that. My question is the evaluation of when you're trying to run a scheme, making sure, like, okay, I can't – okay, I know I don't have this, and I know I don't have that, but let me take this I have over here that I know I can work with. I just saying to me, if they go out there and get in cover two again and they don't press anybody or redirect anybody and we see the same thing – I'm gonna call out the head coach. I'm gonna call out the defensive coordinator.
And I'll be right there.
And I'm gonna
with
call
you.
Out the general manager for not stepping in and saying, like, listen, I'm trying to help you. I think I helped you with your run defense. I'm gonna try and help you. Now Clowney ain't playing this week, but I think I might have helped you with your pass rush. But if they you know, I saw guys like the Mike Zimmers and the Dan Quinns and those guys take personnel that probably didn't fit their scheme but do something else in order to make it work. That's all I'm asking right now from Matt. Don't get just covered two and let people run four verticals against you all day and expect there's going to be, especially with this pass rush or lack of.
A huge game Sunday afternoon, 3:25 right here on your home of the Cowboys. We're in the midst of the C-Note epic debate, gentlemen. Appreciate that quality content here on a Football Friday. How about a little Mina Kimes? You guys are big fans of Mina Kimes,
love
aren't
Mina.
You?
Yeah.
Huge.
Good gal.
So far this season, the Bears defense is giving up a perfect passer rating on throws to the middle of third per Next Gen Stats, 158.3.
Oh, our guy Jake Ferguson.
Eating.
Get ready to
let's go.
Get fed.
It's gonna that be, makes me feel even better.
It's going to be like sleeves of Oreos just lined up there in the seam with him just mowing them down.
Num, 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 num.
Another surprising thing going well, pressure leaders for rookies. This is a fantasy stat. Abdul Carter, number one with 9 of them. 9 pressures, 13.2%, not
Donovan
too bad.
Donovan Ezeraco's on that list, didn't he?
Donovan Ezeraco coming in second with 4, and his pressure rate is actually much higher because he sat out so much.
And I think
15.4.
That's good to kind of put in perspective the other rookies in his class, right? Like, I know we want instant success, instant impact, and he hasn't been quite the player that we envisioned yet. But compared to the other rookies through 2 weeks, he's doing okay. I think Easy's going to be all right.
Yeah, and you know, I think back to Tank. It was an adventure for him, yeah, his rookie year, and then he came on strong late, and then he was battling injuries and everything, and about mid-career, he really took off. I do think it's possible that guys can still be really, really good if they don't show up and they're ready to kick ass, but when you see a guy who shows up and he's ready to kick ass like Micah, then you're like,
DeMarcus,
oh, wow.
Ware,
all pro.
Like first,
you know?
Game. Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's true.
We're heading for Hall of Fame status here. I don't know if that's the case with Donovan Ezeraku, but I do have – big-time faith that he's going to be a quality football player. All righty, it's the G-Bag Nation here on the fan. We're live at Pickler Universe in Carrollton. Swing on by. I think our guy actually had a Bloody Mary, so they're mixing up cocktails,
yeah,
somewhere.
Yeah, they are. They're mixing them up.
We have Stella Artois samples, complimentary for those 21 and over. It is time now for Krusty's Corner. Brian, where are you taking us here?
Yeah, I've got some questions for my guys, but I also want to talk to you about Clay Martin, the official for the game this week. We'll do that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
Thank you, Lucius, and thanks to Pickler Universe here in Carrollton for having us out. You can come play pickleball. Really filled up since we started broadcasting. I think we put the bat signal out there, and they were like,
yeah. Oh,
sweet, they're back. We're having a great time hanging out with the Tolos here at the break. It is time now for Krusty's Corner with Brian Broaddus, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here he is, Brian.
Thank you. Appreciate that, sir.
You got it.
Hey, Hankins.
I was waiting for that. Okay, hey.
And brought us.
All right. We talked about the official for this weekend's game. It's going to be Clay Martin. I'm going to go into that first, if I could. This will be his third game. He has refereed two previous games. The things you need to worry about with Clay Martin, and as Wolchek told you, Clay Martin is, Dallas is 5-0. In games,
yeah, it's awesome
that he is officiated in. So,
a big Cowboy fan,
I guess. But that is a good sign after last week. By the way, believe it or not, there's a referee that is actually ahead of Bill Vinovich.
No way.
For the most calls,
impossible, sir.
Yeah, how about that? Bill Vinovich is second in calls made after that last week's game where he had all those calls.
He had to have seen that. Was that some sort of record? I mean, we saw 30, like, five flags get thrown.
I think the only game that I've seen more was that Thanksgiving.
With the Raiders?
Yes.
That was disgusting.
That was Hockley.
That was
Sean Hockley.
He's such a look-at-me ref.
Is he still doing it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw him out there the other night.
Oh, no. Not Sean.
He still doesn't have biceps anywhere close to his pops.
No.
I appreciate him not letting stuff go, though.
We should bring pops back.
I do feel like some refs are under a mandate to not over-officiate it. If you got a guy like out there, what was his name, Hudson?
Yeah, Hudson.
Hudson? Yeah, the left tackle.
Oh,
tackle.
Yes, yeah.
Ring him up.
Jordan Hudson the second.
You know, it's a tough spot to be because we had a story a couple of years ago where the NFL's like, no, we don't need any more than three flags a quarter. Let's keep it down.
Yeah.
So I think you're wondering, how's Micah Parsons going an entire season only getting two holding calls? It's that kind of nonsense.
Yeah.
Now he's getting calls in Green
Bay. And I think some of these refs are like, I'm sick of it. I'm not letting this stuff go. And he put his foot down there. We'll probably get a memo here in a couple of weeks that Bill Vinovich is moving on from.
Bill, I made the comment, Bill used to let you play. I can't
I don't know what happened.
I can't say that anymore, but Clay Martin,
Let me just tell you about Clay Martin a little bit. His
it does mess up the TV broadcast.
It does mess it up.
It makes it miserable. Even if you win, you're like, what the hell's going on here? I can't trust my eyes are telling me. I'm waiting for the flag, and somebody just threw a green crank on the field. You see, CBS thought it was a they thought it was a flag when that flew onto the screen. They put up the flag.
They put up
the flag graphic.
It's like, nope, just a fake dong.
Just fake. They got ball sacks. Literally. Okay, here we go. Clay Martin. Offensive holding is where we're looking at right now. Now, here's something that's interesting for his offensive holding. He's got 7 of these offensive holding calls as a crew. 6 against the home, 1 against the aways.
There we go. So
you feel like maybe you're going to maybe get some offensive holding calls with a pass rusher that's sometimes non-existent?
I don't think there's a good enough pass rusher on either team to garner a holding call. I would just say that to start the game.
Braxton
hey, ref,
Jones.
Just understand that none of these edge rushers on either team are good enough. So, I mean, maybe Osa could get him one. That'd be all I'd be looking for.
It's a good point. Yeah, they turn into a puddle of ooze at the tackle's feet way too often.
Hey, when you guys watch the games, especially on the Cowboys, they're talking about holdings on the edge, the Cowboys defense, edge rushers.
Yeah.
Do you feel like they're like explosive first step playing?
No.
The defensive tackles are. Sam Williams has no explosiveness. There's times I've seen it from Donovan Ezeraku, but it's too far. It's not often. It's not consistent. So mostly in Fowler, I haven't seen it at all. Fowler,
I don't feel like they're winning enough first step stuff.
No, and Fowler, I don't know. Fowler doesn't look like the same player.
Yeah.
At first I was like, maybe it's just the 13 thing. I need to get used to this.
Sure.
But Dante Fowler just does not look like the same rusher.
I just don't see the explosiveness, that first step.
No, you're right.
Putting guys in bad spots. All right, Clay Martin, false starts would be the second one. That's 4 to him. It's 2-2 there. Defensive holding. How about that? Defensive holding. I wonder if it's the defensive holding variety of not letting blockers get up on the second level. We see that, or is it the defensive holding in the secondary?
Yeah, usually the secondary.
Because if you get the defensive holding in the offensive line area, that could be pretty beneficial if you get. I mean, if you're a team running the ball, and all of a sudden your guys are getting held that they can't get second level, that they're so worried about you running the ball that they're holding your linemen.
Right.
So.
That'd be awesome.
Keep an eye on the defensive holding stuff. Unnecessary roughness, they've got 2 of those. And then the offensive offsides, to me, that's kind of lining up. That's one of those situations. Are you in the neutral zone? Maybe we'll see that this week of whoever's got the Philadelphia game with that tush push.
Yeah.
Lining up offsides. Illegal formation and illegal use of the hands are the other ones that you have to need to be worried about. So nothing about the clock here. Of anything of worrying about the time and stuff like that, where last week with Bill Vinovich and that crew, they had a couple of those. But so the ones you need to worry about, offensive holding, the false starts, defensive holding, unnecessary roughness, and the offensive offsides. That seem to be the ones that
feels like Shoddy's got a pretty good handle on the penalties and the discipline here.
Yeah. I think so too.
Except special teams.
Yeah, the special team stuff is week. Yeah. That's something I kind of the block in the back.
I need Flournoy to clean that up.
Let me ask you this though, real quick on that. Speaking of the penalties and stuff with Flournoy, I was kind of thinking that Tolbert was the one that once Mingo came back was going to be the guy that might be getting replaced. You know what I'm saying? That it was like it was. Watch Tolbert here. Do you think it's Ryan Flournoy?
No, I think you're right, but both will be. Flournoy probably won't be dressing.
That's what I'm saying, though.
But I think that Mingo's going to be taking Tolbert's spot, so I think Tolbert's going to be moving down the line.
But
have Mingo playing more in the reps that Tolbert's getting now.
See, I'd like to see that maybe that Tolbert is the one. But I'd love that, but they like Tolbert. That's what I'm saying, though.
I don't know why they like Tolbert.
But then again, I can't justify that. You know why? Because Flannoy's not doing anything to make me think any differently.
Well, he's not getting the opportunities, but if he keeps having penalties, like you're right, what you said on Monday, because I want Flannoy to be getting Tolbert's playing time right now.
Yeah.
But it's hard for a coach to give you that benefit when you're out there on special teams and you're getting flagged.
So it's like, I need you to clean that up first before I can put you on offense, because you've said it. It's all about the trust.
Right.
How can I trust you on offense to not hold if you're getting penalties for blocking in the back on special teams?
I love the idea of Mingo joining this group, though, and getting out there with Span Ford and Tyler Smith pulling. You're going to bring hell to that C-gap on the right side, aren't you?
No, absolutely, man. That's the one thing. I meant to ask Ferguson about that yesterday. That Span Ford is done. I mean, I'm sure he would talk very complimentary, but Span Ford has been noticeable on tape when it comes to running the football, where the ball's gone behind him and all that. All right. Let me ask you guys something. Last week, did you realize this? And this comes from the Giants game. And tell me, is there going to be a carryover from Giants game? This is Cowboys defense. How about this? And I didn't realize as the game was going on, sitting up there watching with you, Chief.
Yeah.
Do you realize that the Giants were 1 of 5 in the red zone last week?
That was actually yes, because that was like the one thing that you looked at defensively where – they actually did a nice job.
Yeah,
because they were scoring on huge plays,
so
they were still able to score.
Right.
But once they got into the red zone, things just got a little wonky for them. So that was one tip of the cap for the Cowboys defense.
That reminded me of the Marinelli days where it's like they stink 20-20.
Right.
But it's bend, don't break, find a way to make them kick a field goal in the red zone.
Dawson, were you surprised that the Cowboys were allowed the Giants to be 1 in 5 in the red zone?
I guess not really, just because the Giants couldn't really run it in. But, yes, I would have guessed they would have been at least 50%.
And I do think that's a great point. It's your run defense helps you in a big way there.
How about this? The Giants were 0 of 3 on third down in the red zone.
That's why the
1 of 5.
They
finally
got
one was on
field.
Fourth down.
And one of them was on fourth down. That was a huge play. He's playing the game,
sure.
And that's why I would push for trades right now if I'm in that front office.
You know, Dawson,
we're doing a lot of stuff good.
You had me looking into that, and I was trying to look at corners and stuff like that. And I was looking at contracts.
And you know who's available.
Yeah.
What are our options for us?
Yeah, but if you're going to give a one, you make sure it's
got to be like Derek Stingley.
Yeah.
It's got to be an A-plus player.
Well, I think if you're talking about Stingley, you're probably going to have...
I'm just throwing out a name.
I know you are. I know you are.
A top corner like that,
you know? But if you're talking about Stingley, it's likely going to be your own pick. See, that's
But honestly, I'd feel okay about that. I'm talking about a top 3 to 5 corner in football. I can part with that. That's fair to me. That's fair compensation.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you got to give to get. If you're telling me I'm getting a number one corner... and Stingley's one of those guys that's in the conversation, is best in football at his position, I'm okay with that.
Even with the guys coming back, you'd be interested in moving and getting a corner? Or does that is the coming back guys not doing anything for you right now?
They're not doing anything.
Well, we've never seen Revell play. Like, you and I like Revell.
Oh, yeah.
We like
him a lot. Absolutely, yeah.
But I will say we liked Kalen Carson.
And
it's different levels, right? Like, Revell was a first-round talent. Kalen Carson was drafted on day 3. So, Revell, a much higher ceiling. I know you love the ceiling of the floor talk.
I love that talk.
But we don't know. Like, Revell might not end up being good. It is possible that we were wrong about him. I hope we're not, but we can't be putting all our eggs in Revell's basket. It'd be unfair to him to even do that.
Yeah, Bland coming back will obviously make a difference, but then you're still kind of down one. And so if you were able to get a legit corner in a trade, now you got Bland playing the nickel. Diggs and whoever you trade for.
But I do think right now, like, Trey Hendrickson, that's getting me excited.
Yeah.
The thought of, like, can I call Cincinnati? And again, I don't think it would take a one. I really think if I set a second rounder and maybe I gave them Sam Williams or Fowler and player swapped or something.
Yeah.
But I really don't think it's even going to cost you a one because he's a rental player and then you're going to have to sign him on top of that. I don't think you're going to be held up for a one from Cincinnati.
My final thing for you real quick. The Lions on first down averaged 10.7 yards a play.
Whoa!
The Cowboys averaged 5.2 yards a play last week. Cowboys capable of averaging 10 yards a play this week?
Probably not.
First down?
Probably not.
That's one of their
bugaboos offensively right now. I think they got to start throwing the ball more on first down. And if they do that, they can get close to 10. But 10 is pretty
otherworldly. I mean, my God.
Dawson, you get 10 yards of play on first down against the Bears this week?
No, I'm with Chief. I think they're too oriented for running on first down. They're going to need a couple of huge chunk plays if they want to average something like that.
Woolley?
Yeah, I can't say they're going to get 10-plus on first. That's incredible. That speaks to just how good the Lions were last week.
Lions were great last week. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that.
Thank you. We're live Pickler Universe in Carrollton. Your guy Dan Graziano actually did this morning top trade candidates for early in the season chatter.
Oh, sweet.
And he did mention one defensive player. I'd love your thoughts on, Chief. Jalen Phillips, the edge, Miami. Would you want to trade for him? Fifth-year option, no deal beyond this year.
The problem with him right now is he's off another injury, and he was a really, really good player. Really, really good edge rusher. He was a former first-round pick for a reason, but he's had so many injuries. And not to say that he won't get better as the season goes on, but right now, if you watch him today, he's not a guy you're trying to really trade for.
Graziano looked at five teams most likely to add players, and he did not mention the Cowboys. I think that's a shame. I think it's the year to go for it. I really do, looking around this NFC conference. We got two down, two and a half to go, and Sands the man. Jared Sandler joins you next year to preview this Rangers-Marlins series. Maybe we'll get some daily football fix in as well here. It's the G-Bag Nation.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.